The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of The New Mother features child abandonment. Please exercise caution for children under 13. A 12-year-old girl named Blue Eyes lifted her mother's tea set over her head and smashed it to the kitchen floor. Porcelain cups and saucers shattered everywhere. The shards mixed with other detritus on the ground, broken plates, glasses, and scraps of food. She screamed in delight as she eyed her next victim, her mother's crystal serving dish. Meanwhile, in the living room, Blue Eyes' 9-year-old sister named Turkey kicked over chairs and tore the spines off of books. The girl's mother huddled in a nearby bedroom. She sobbed, "Girls, why are you doing this? You used to be so well behaved." When Turkey heard that, she paused her destruction and ran to Blue Eyes. She tugged on her older sister's smock.
"I can't stand to hear Mummy crying. Maybe we should stop and apologize."
Blue Eyes gripped her sister by the arms.
"We have to be naughty, and apologizing is the opposite of naughty."
Turkey swallowed her tears and headed back into the living room to wreak more havoc. There were some feather pillows she could tear open. As Blue Eyes watched her sister go, she too had doubts about misbehaving, but the creepy carnival worker had told them it was the only way to get what they wanted, and she had never wanted something so badly in her life. So Blue Eyes lifted the crystal bowl over her head and swung it down. It exploded in hundreds of pieces. If she had to, she would destroy everything in this house. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today, we're getting a visit from The New Mother. This Victorian tale chronicles two young girls who drive away their mother with their bad behavior, but they don't count on the terrible consequences of their naughty behavior. Coming up, two young girls are tempted by a stranger. The story of The New Mother begins with a familiar setup. Children meet a mysterious stranger, and their lives take an unexpected turn for the worse. Some famous examples include Hansel and Gretel, Jack and the Beanstalk, and of course, Little Red Riding Hood. But while the plot device is an old one, The New Mother is a relatively contemporary take on it. It was written in 1882 by an English woman named Lucy Lane Clifford. And Clifford set her story apart from its predecessors with one major change. The New Mother doesn't just have one candidate for the role of bad guy. Clifford includes multiple. There's the classic stranger, the two disobedient children, and then there's an even more dangerous evil, a terrifying monster with beady glass eyes. Blue Eyes sang a little tune as she worked in the kitchen. She was only 12 years old, but her mother trusted her to prepare the tea kettle. While Blue Eyes fetched the water and stoked the fire, her little sister Turkey set the table with teacups and saucers. The girls had real names, of course, but they loved the nicknames their parents had given them. While the water heated, Blue Eyes joined her sister folding napkins. Even though they were 3 years apart, they were inseparable friends. Their parents' home was almost 2 miles outside of town, so they didn't have any neighbors to play with. They relied entirely on each other to help with chores, to make up games, and to harmonize the little tunes they sang throughout the day. When the tea kettle finally whistled, their mother, Dorothy, glided into the kitchen, bouncing a baby on her hip. Dorothy was the most beautiful woman Blue Eyes had ever seen. Even in her old house clothes, she seemed to radiate grace and beauty. "My sweet girls," Dorothy said as she admired their work, "your father would be proud." She walked over to Blue Eyes and Turkey and kissed the tops of their heads. "What tune are we singing today?" Blue Eyes smiled proudly.
"A sea shanty Daddy taught us."
Dorothy cocked her head. "None with foul language, I hope," she said. The girls assured her that it was an innocent song, and as Dorothy poured the hot water into cups, she began to sing along with them. Then the three ladies of the house sat down to tea. After a few minutes, Blue Eyes looked up from her cup.
"When is Daddy coming home?"
she asked. Her mother sighed. "Not for several months. The ship took him far this time." Turkey looked confused.
"How far is far?"
Dorothy gestured for Blue Eyes to show her sister on a nearby wall map. The girls saved all of the postcards and letters their father sent from sea. They pinned them to the map near their appropriate locations. Blue Eyes pointed to the most recent postcard.
"He was in India last month. That's here."
Then she dragged her finger along the map to England.
"And we're here."
Turkey's bottom lip quivered.
"That is far away. Will he ever come home?"
Blue Eyes hugged her sister and led her back to the table. Dorothy smiled at her daughters. They were so well behaved, and Blue Eyes was so kind to Turkey. Many older sisters wouldn't be so understanding. Blue Eyes looked inquisitively at Dorothy.
"Do you miss Father?"
Dorothy sighed. "I miss him every day, but he is providing for us. Why don't you two head into town and see if there's a new postcard?" Blue Eyes barely waited for the words to leave her mother's lips. She leapt from her chair and grabbed her coat. But Dorothy cleared her throat loudly. Blue Eyes spun on her heels.
"Sorry, Mummy. May I please be excused from the table?" "Me too?"
asked Turkey. Dorothy smiled and nodded. "Of course. But what's our rule when you go into town?" Blue Eyes looked to Turkey. They had rehearsed this together. She mouthed, 1, 2, 3. Then they said in unison,
"Do not speak to strangers."
Their mother beamed with pride. "Hurry home," she said. "I'll have supper ready when you get back." At that, the girls bolted out the door. While the girls walked hand in hand toward town, they speculated about the next postcard.
"Maybe Father's in Burma," said Blue Eyes.
"Or Singapore,"
said Turkey. But as they entered the outskirts of town, Turkey pulled her hand away and stopped her cheerful chatter to pick up a flyer from the ground. When she read it, she gasped. Blue Eyes, pausing to look around, immediately realized what it was. The streets were littered with empty paper candy boxes. In a nearby field, a tall, red and white striped tent was being folded down. Along the road, performers and revelers were hanging about. There had been a traveling carnival here, but they had just missed it. If only they had come to town yesterday, they would have seen it in its full splendor. Turkey pointed across the road to where a worker sat with two performing dogs.
"Can we pet the puppies?"
But Blue Eyes, squaring her shoulders, shook her head sternly.
"Remember the rule, no talking to strangers."
When Turkey started whimpering, Blue Eyes ruffled her hair.
"Come on, chin up. Maybe we'll get a letter from Father."
A short time later, Blue Eyes and Turkey arrived at the post office. It was busy, but the lady behind the counter recognized the girls immediately.
"Hello, my angels," she said. "I wish I had a letter to give you, but we haven't received anything."
This time, both Blue Eyes and Turkey slumped. Not only had they missed the carnival, but they didn't get a postcard from Father either. The whole trip had been a waste. The girls trudged back along the road toward home. But then, a short distance outside of town, the girls heard a strange sound. Ting, ting, ting. It seemed to be coming from a young woman in ragged clothes, leaning against a low stone wall. Or barely more than a girl, maybe 15 years old. She seemed to be crying as she tuned a strange wooden instrument. Blue Eyes pulled Turkey toward the girl, but this time it was Turkey who resisted.
"No talking to strangers, remember?"
she said.
"You're right,"
Blue Eyes responded.
"But Mother also taught us to help people in trouble, and that girl looks like she's in trouble."
Turkey shrugged. Blue Eyes had a point, so they approached the strange young woman.
"Excuse me, miss, are you crying?"
The ragged girl jerked her head upright, her mouth contorted into a strange, crooked grin.
"My heavens, no. Are you?"
Blue Eyes shook her head, offended.
"We're not crying. We thought you might need help. Are you lost?"
This time, the strange girl guffawed.
"Why, you just found me, so I can't be lost. My name is Helen. I live in the village."
Blue Eyes and Turkey were baffled. They had never seen this girl before, and they knew everyone in the village. But Blue Eyes quickly forgot about that. She was distracted by the wooden object in the young woman's hands.
"What is that?"
she asked. Helen held it out for their inspection.
"A pear drum," she said matter-of-factly. "I thought everyone had seen a pear drum."
Blue Eyes' face flushed with embarrassment. How had she never seen one before? It resembled a miniature guitar, but it had an oblong resonating chamber and just three strings. Even more peculiar, it had a tiny box built into its side. Blue Eyes had never seen anything like it. She cocked her head at Helen.
"Where did you get it?"
Helen smirked at them.
"Why, I bought it from an old pear drum maker, of course. It was very expensive."
Blue Eyes looked at the woman's ragged clothes and the mysterious pear drum. Something didn't seem right, but she didn't want to be rude. Turkey, however, squinted at the woman.
"How could you afford it? You look shabby."
Helen cackled with delight. She opened the tiny box on the side of the instrument.
"Hey, did you hear that?"
she whispered inside.
"These girls say I look shabby."
The girl's eyes grew wide.
Who are you talking to?"
Blue Eyes stammered. Helen turned back to the girls.
"The little people in the box, of course. They sing and dance for me."
Blue Eyes' mouth fell open. Her heart began to pound with excitement. This was magic, and she was just inches away from it. Mother told stories about magic sometimes, but in those stories it was always far away, like Father. And now it was right here, in front of her. She had never wanted anything more in her life than to see the little people. So, staring intensely at the strange woman, Blue Eyes made up her mind. She'd do anything to see the inside of that box. Anything. Coming up, Blue Eyes and Turkey turn naughty.
Wayne Simmons spent 27 years undercover for the CIA. When he retired from spy work, he got a big break. Terrorism analyst on Fox News. Then he met Kent Clisby.
"So I'm a real CIA guy. This is total nonsense."
I'm Alex French, and I'm here to figure out who's telling the truth. Was Wayne Simmons a spy, or was he nothing but a con man? Imposters is a Spotify original from Parcast and premieres Monday, May 3rd. Follow and listen exclusively on Spotify.
As soon as Blue Eyes knew there were two little people inside Helen's pear drum, she decided that she had to see them. At first, Helen seemed happy to oblige.
"They come out and dance when I play a special song," she told the girls, a twinkle lighting up her dirty face. "Would you like to see them?"
Blue Eyes' heart beat rapidly in her chest. She had never wanted anything more in her whole life, but she didn't want to seem too anxious.
Turkey, on the other hand, jumped up and down.
"Oh, please show us!"
she cried. Helen narrowed her eyes at them.
"You would enjoy that, wouldn't you?"
Blue Eyes finally nodded eagerly.
"Please show us, Helen."
At that, Helen lifted the lid ever so slightly and peeked in. But she paused and cocked her head at the girls.
"I almost forgot to ask, are you good children?"
"We are very good,"
Turkey blurted out.
"Mother tells us all the time that we're perfect."
At that, Helen slammed the lid shut.
"That's unfortunate. Then you can't see my tiny friends."
Blue Eyes was confused. She glanced at Turkey, whose jaw hung open in shock. Did Helen not believe them? Blue Eyes tried again.
"We are so good, Mother sent us into town on our own. Please, you must show us the little people."
Helen shook her head.
"I mustn't do anything of the sort. Besides, I believe that you're good. The problem is, my little friends only dance for naughty children."
Blue Eyes felt tears of frustration welling up in her eyes. She had to see those little people, so she stomped her foot and proclaimed,
"We can be naughty."
Helen shrugged at her.
"But you already told me you're good. You can't just become naughty. I'm sorry. You can't see my little friends."
Blue Eyes pointed down the road toward their home.
"We live nearby. What if we act very naughty?"
she asked Helen.
"Can we come back tomorrow and see them dance?"
Helen inhaled sharply through her teeth.
"I suppose so, but I doubt you can be bad enough."
Blue Eyes could barely contain herself.
"Don't worry, we'll be the worst ever."
She pulled on Turkey's hand and they took off toward home. Before long, the two girls arrived at home. As they ran up the stairs, Turkey yanked on Blue Eyes' hand.
"I don't know about this. Won't Mummy be sad if we're naughty?"
Blue Eyes crouched down to her eye level.
"It will only be for tonight. We'll see the little people and then we can apologize to Mummy and go right back to being good. I promise."
Turkey nodded.
"Okay, just for tonight."
Blue Eyes smirked.
"Then let's start now."
She shoved Turkey down the stairs and then ran down after her with the loudest footsteps she could muster. Next, Blue Eyes kept running around downstairs, but now she added screeches to her raucous performance. Turkey chased after her, screaming too, but also crying.
"That wasn't fair!"
she wailed. All the commotion caused the baby to start wailing, and Dorothy came running from the kitchen.
"What's the meaning of this?"
she demanded. But the girls didn't answer. They continued running in circles around the house. Dorothy tried to corral them, but they spurted past her. Finally, Dorothy yelled,
"Girls, stop this instant!"
Blue Eyes slammed to a stop, so Turkey ran full force into her back. The two tumbled to the ground. Blue Eyes shoved her sister.
"Get off of me!"
In response, Turkey pulled Blue Eyes' hair, coat, and anything she could get her hands on. She finally cocked her arm, ready to level a punch. But Dorothy snatched her arm just in time and separated them.
"What has gotten into you two?" she asked.
Blue Eyes didn't say a word, but Turkey, between gasps for air, choked out,
"We want to be naughty."
Dorothy stroked Turkey's hair, calming her down.
"Why do you want to be naughty?" she asked.
Turkey's eyes popped wide. She was dying to tell her mother about Helen and the pear drum.
"We want to see the little..."
Before she could finish, Blue Eyes cut her off.
"We wanted to see what a little naughtiness felt like."
Dorothy shook her head. "There are no degrees of naughtiness. Either you are or you aren't. And if you're naughty, it means you don't love your mother. And if you don't love me, perhaps I should just go away. Do you want me to go away, girls?" Blue Eyes shook her head.
"You wouldn't leave us all alone, would you?"
Dorothy sighed. "You wouldn't be alone. new mother would come stay with you.
At first, Blue Eyes thought her mother was joking, but Dorothy held her gaze firmly. Blue Eyes swallowed a lump in her throat.
Who is new mother?
Dorothy gathered the girls at her legs.
New mother comes for children who don't want their old mother, she said. She has two piercing glass eyes and a long wooden tail that drags behind her. She is very mean. I don't think you would like her.
Blue Eyes felt the goose flesh creep up her arms. She had never heard of new mother before. It sounded like a trick that parents play on their children to get them to behave. But she didn't want to be naughty anyway. It was only to see the little people. Perhaps the fight was enough to convince Helen. Blue Eyes looked at her sister.
I'm sorry for pushing you,
she whispered. Turkey hugged her, and they both apologized to Dorothy. Dorothy still sent them to bed without dinner, but Blue Eyes didn't mind. She wasn't hungry anyway. All she could think about was seeing the little people in the pear drum tomorrow. Before sunrise, Blue Eyes crept out of bed and woke Turkey.
Mummy and the baby are still asleep, she whispered. If we go now, we can see the little people and be back before Mummy wakes.
Turkey rubbed the sleep from her eyes as Blue Eyes helped her dress. Soon the two sisters hurried down the road toward town. After a mile, they could hear Helen tuning the pear drum in the distance. The girls picked up their pace, and a few minutes later, they saw the ragged young woman leaning against the wall like yesterday. She held the instrument on her lap. Blue Eyes and Turkey broke into a run toward her.
Helen! Helen!
They yelled.
We've been naughty! Can we see the little people now?
Helen looked up from her musical instrument.
Well, how naughty were you?
Blue Eyes counted on her fingers.
I pushed Turkey down the stairs. We had a fight. We ran all through the house. We disturbed Mummy and the baby.
Helen rolled her eyes.
That hardly sounds bad at all. A nuisance, maybe.
Hearing that, Turkey stepped forward.
We were sent to bed without supper.
Helen crossed her arms.
And I suppose you did as you were told.
Turkey's shoulders slumped in disappointment. Blue Eyes wasn't backing down yet, though. She stomped her foot in determination.
We were naughty. Mother told us she would leave and send a new mother, one with a glass eye and wooden tail.
Helen rolled her eyes.
Pish posh, that's what they all say. Do you really believe there are new mothers out there with wooden tails? That would be far too expensive.
Blue Eyes' heart sank in her chest. They weren't going to see the tiny people dance after all.
What should we have done?
She asked. Helen shook her head.
Get creative. Did you smash the tea set? Did you put out the fire? Did you stand the baby on its head?
Blue Eyes swallowed deeply.
What if we do all those things? If we smash the tea set, put out the fire, and stand the baby on its head? Then can we see the little people?
Helen shrugged.
You could, but you won't. Besides, I'm leaving in the morning.
Turkey jumped up and down.
Please, 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 Helen! We'll do all those bad things.
Helen sighed as if she were doing the girls a great favor.
I suppose I could come by your house on my way in the morning, 11 o'clock sharp. But be forewarned, I will not stop. I will not even slow down if you haven't been properly naughty.
Blue Eyes beamed with joy. She felt a renewed sense of purpose. One more day of misbehavior wouldn't hurt them. She'd get to see the little people, and then they'd apologize to their mother. She grabbed Turkey by the hand.
Thank you, Helen. We will be exceptionally naughty. You'll see.
This time, when Blue Eyes and Turkey arrived home, they kicked the front door open. Dorothy was waiting anxiously for them with the baby in her lap.
Girls, where were you? She asked. You scared me half to death.
But Blue Eyes ignored her. She and Turkey went right to work. They smashed everything they could find.
pots, pans, tea sets, and crystal serving dishes. They doused the cooking fire with water, and they laughed in delight as Dorothy chased them around the house. At one point, Dorothy cornered Blue Eyes. She grabbed her with both hands and shook her. "What has happened to you?" Dorothy screamed. A chill ran through Blue Eyes. Her mother had never laid a hand on her before. Blue Eyes saw the fear and confusion in her mother's eyes. It made her feel terrible to act this way, but she was so close to seeing the little people. She swallowed hard and began to chant,
"Daddy's never coming home. He loves the sea and he hates you."
Dorothy staggered backward. "I have lost you both. Perhaps new mother will know what to do." Turkey bolted through the room.
"There is no new mother," she screamed. "You're stuck with us."
At that, Dorothy disappeared with the baby into her bedroom. Blue Eyes and Turkey looked at each other. They had done it. This was proper naughtiness. Now they'd be able to see the little people dance. But moments later, Dorothy emerged from the bedroom. She was carrying the baby in one arm and a suitcase in another. Blue Eyes felt her stomach twist in a knot.
"Mummy, what are you doing?"
Dorothy cut across the room. "You left me no choice. Your new mother will be here tonight." Dorothy choked back a sob. "I'm sorry," she said finally. Then she walked out the front door and kept going. Coming up, the girls meet their new mother. Now back to the story. Blue Eyes and Turkey ran to the front door and watched their mother disappear down the road. Turkey called after her,
"Mummy, come back!"
But Dorothy didn't turn around. Blue Eyes shook her head in disbelief.
"She'll come back. She's just trying to scare us. Let's focus on the bright side. We'll get to see Helen's little people."
Blue Eyes motioned for Turkey to sit down with her on the front step.
"Helen said 11 o'clock. I bet Mummy will be back after that."
A short time later, the girls heard a faint sound in the distance. Blue Eyes cocked her ear toward the horizon. This time, it wasn't the ting, ting, ting of Helen tuning the instrument. She was actually playing it. Blue Eyes' heart raced. She looked at her sister.
"Turkey, it's the pear drum. She's playing it. She's coming."
Moments later, Helen appeared around the bend. Blue Eyes skipped down to the road to greet her.
"We did it, Helen. We were so naughty, our mother ran off,"
she yelled. Helen didn't break stride as she passed.
"Indeed she did. I saw her head into town to catch a boat."
Turkey appeared at Blue Eyes' side.
"Well, that proves it. We were naughty enough, so let us see the little people."
But Helen didn't stop. She kept right on walking past them as she played the pear drum. Blue Eyes shook her fist at Helen.
"You have to show us. We did just as you said."
Helen shrugged.
"I told you before, naughtiness takes imagination. All you did was what I told you, and you didn't even do that right. You only doused half the fire. There are still unbroken teacups, and you didn't bother to stand the baby on its head."
Blue Eyes' bottom lip trembled.
"I demand that you show us the little p—"
Her voice trailed away as she noticed something strange. The tiny compartment on the side of Helen's pear drum hung open. It was empty, just a hollow wooden box. There were no little people inside. Maybe there never were. Blue Eyes sank onto the dusty road. Turkey, on the other hand, chased after Helen.
"Where are the little people, Helen? Did you hide them? Where are they?"
But Helen kept walking. She flashed them a mischievous grin.
"Don't worry. New mother won't abandon you like Dorothy did. She's coming. She's coming. She's coming."
Soon, Helen disappeared into the distance and was gone. Blue Eyes and Turkey were all alone.
Turkey returned to where Blue Eyes sat on the dusty road.
New Mother is real?
She asked. Blue Eyes swallowed her tears.
Helen is a liar. She lied to us about the little people. She's probably lying about New Mother, too.
Blue Eyes said it as much to convince herself as to soothe Turkey. She just hoped it was true. Blue Eyes stood up and dusted herself off.
Let's clean up the house. I bet Mummy will be back soon. She'll see we're not naughty anymore. Everything will go back to normal.
Turkey nodded with uncertainty. Inside the home, the sisters went to work. Instead of destroying their parents' belongings, they put things back together. They swept shards of porcelain from the floor. They placed undamaged teacups back on the shelves. They relit the fire. By nightfall, the house was spotless. But Dorothy still hadn't returned. The girls began to get anxious. Turkey started to whimper.
What if Mummy doesn't come home?
Blue Eyes squinted at her.
Mummy loves us. She'll be home any moment.
Just then, they heard a noise outside. Blue Eyes stood up.
See?
She said.
That's probably her right now.
But it wasn't any normal sound they had heard before. It sounded like a heavy wooden log being dragged down a road. Blue Eyes had heard her mother return home 100 times before. It never sounded like that. As the sound became louder and louder, Blue Eyes realized it couldn't be Dorothy. It had to be someone else. She turned to Turkey and held her finger up to her lips.
Don't make a sound, she whispered.
Blue Eyes dashed through the house and blew out every candle. She gestured to Turkey to help her blockade the door with a chair. Turkey turned to Blue Eyes.
Now what?
She asked. Blue Eyes tried to put on a brave face, but it was crumbling.
I don't know, she stammered.
At last, the scraping noise came up their front steps. One step, two steps, three steps, and then it stopped. After a moment of silence, someone knocked on the front door. Blue Eyes tiptoed into the kitchen to look out the window that angled onto the front stairs. As soon as she peeked out the glass, she gasped. Looming at the door was a hunchbacked old woman. Her face was hidden by a shadowy hood, but two green orbs glowed in place of eyes, and jutting out from the bottom of her cloak was a long wooden tail. It looked like the old mast of a sailing ship, bridled with pieces of rusty iron. This was the visitor Dorothy and Helen had warned them about. This was New Mother. Suddenly, the light knocks on the door turned to banging. It echoed through the house. Blue Eyes turned to Turkey.
We need to secure the door.
They ran to the door and threw all of their weight against it. But the bangs got even louder. Blue Eyes realized that the woman outside was smashing the door with her tail. The wood was starting to splinter. The entire house rattled as New Mother used her tail as a battering ram. Finally, the door gave way. It splintered down the middle, and the green light of New Mother's eyes spilled into the darkness. Blue Eyes had never been so scared in her life. She tugged on her sister's hand.
Run!
She yelled. The two sprinted for the back door. They opened it and tore across the garden toward the forest. When they reached the tree line, they didn't look back. They ran and ran through the night. When the sisters finally collapsed from exhaustion, they hoped they'd made it far enough from New Mother. They huddled together and tried to sleep through the night. From that day on, Blue Eyes and Turkey lived the rest of their days in the woods. Their hair grew rough and shaggy. Their clothes became threadbare. They lived off what they could find, berries, toadstools, and wild greens. They longed for the safety of their old mother.
Occasionally, in the dead of night, they wandered back to their old home to see if Dorothy, the baby, or their father had returned. But all the windows were boarded up. There was no light or love inside. Just the sound of a heavy wooden tail dragging across their floorboards. When The New Mother was published in the late 1880s, it was a shocking departure from most fairy tales. There was no wandering woodsman or magical fairy to save the girls. There was no happy ending at all. Over the years, critics have interpreted it as everything from an allegory for the sexual awakening of a young woman to a screed on the dangers of Victorian carnivals. But perhaps most chilling was the fact that the story was based on the real life of the author, Lucy Clifford. Clifford's husband died while her daughters were young, leaving her to raise them alone, not unlike the mother in her story. And it's likely that on more than one occasion, her daughters terrorized her house and made Clifford long for some threat or story to keep her children from being naughty. So she wrote it, and the meaning of the story may be as simple as that. It's a cautionary tale for misbehaved children that refuses to pull any punches. Of course, that involves some embellishment. While she seems to have drawn from her own life for inspiration, Clifford never abandoned her daughters, and there's no such thing as a new mother with piercing green eyes and a wooden tail. But that doesn't stop some parents from hoping for it. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next Wednesday with a new and exciting story. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. If you enjoy listening to Tales, you'll love my other podcast, Mythology. Mythology retells our oldest stories as an engaging audio drama. Every Tuesday, join me and a cast of voice actors as we dramatize the enduring legends that have shaped human culture since the very beginning. Then join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales is a Spotify original from Parcast. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Carrie Murphy, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Isabella Way. This episode of Tales was written by Jesse Harris, with writing assistance by Nora Battelle, fact-checking by Adriana Romero, and research by Mickey Taylor. I'm Vanessa Richardson.